It's always very, very important what Hashem teaches, where Hashem teaches it. Parshas we're learning in the Torah. It's not like along the way of a parsha there's a cute musar vart, and I like figure it out. And Hashem certainly, the Dvar Hashem is eternal. And Hashem certainly is capable of talking to billions of people and means each nuance that each person would see. Hashem is eternal, the creator of all, and is able to speak to each of us on our levels. There's many things to pull from the Torah. And certainly people, like when you're younger, you have like a nice Dvar Torah, a nice Musar you saw along the way. But there are always reasons why Hashem taught it in this parsha here. Why the lesson it could have been taught anyway. Why did Hashem teach this point and here? Usually when you figure that out, you're seeing like a deeper message, a deeper idea that's going on. And there's something I want to learn from Parshas Yisrael. It connects a lot to the person Yisrael, who's the outsider who comes and joins our people, and not just joins our people, but brings like a beautiful suggestion. Now, a suggestion was not a wild chidushim. We had long lines waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu. And Yisrael comes and says there's not a good system. And the outsider, the fresh person, the less educated person in our system comes and teaches something. And we follow his advice, and it had big payers, Yisrael's advice. I find what I'm about to share is not a side point to the whole sugya of Yisrael and what we can learn from Yisrael. So I like that it's in Parshas Yisrael, connected to the person Yisrael, and taught here. I want to study something. I've learned this in the past. I didn't think enough about context. So there's something that's hitting me this year that I'd want to share. Yisrael comes, Avi, and the story is he sees Klal Yisrael like all waiting to speak to Moshe. And that's a bad system. Novel tibol gama tov gama It's not good for you, Moshe. It's not good for the people. There's not a good system. Everybody waiting to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. Very, very bad system. We all understand why they wanted to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's simply not a good system. And Yisrael sees this system of an entire nation craving to speak to Moshe. And he's like, this is ridiculous. People are in long lines. People are frustrated. People are saying they're not getting enough time with Moshe. It's wearing out Moshe. It's wearing out the people. It's not a manageable system. And Yisrael advises that there should be a system of people that you speak to who are impacted and are part of the system that Moshe instituted. So when you speak to the person you speak to, it's part of Moshe Rabbeinu's system. You're speaking to Moshe. And this person is a Talmud of Moshe and learned from Moshe. And you learn, and somebody speaks to the there's a whole system of who to speak and more people accessible. This is a fascinating sugya of Yisrael. It's one that deserves to be studied, a fascinating sugya. When Yisrael advised to have lower courts, if you will, I don't even want to call it court, because people were asking shailas. When you picture court, you picture two people fighting, people coming with halacha shailas, derech hachayim shailas, and he developed a system. Yisrael brilliantly spoke about developing a healthier system that people avoid this frustration, this novelty, this wearing out of Moshe Rabbeinu and sapping the people's kayach and Moshe's kayach. And Yisrael comes and develops a better system. Yisrael's idea in developing this system, Yisrael says to Moshe that, I'm going to read the words, Yisrael says, by Yisrael it says, V'haya davar agadol will come to you. The big stuff will come to you, and the small stuff will come to these lower courts. I feel bad calling it courts, because it's not really about courts. The small stuff will go to the other tzaddikim. will go to other people, not to Moshe Rabbeinu, the smaller Shailas. So the words of Yisrael is a davar hagadol will go to Moshe, and the davar hakatan will go to the other Rabbanim, if you will. So the gadol, the big stuff, will go to Moshe, and the small stuff will go to the lower, the other Talmid Chacham, the other tzaddik.
Big stuff meaning what?
So I'm going to talk about that, Avi, in a minute. I want to get the words. Yisrael's idea is the gadol will go to Moshe, and Avi's right on it. What does it mean, gadol? But Yisrael says the dvarim hagedolim, the big stuff, will go to Moshe. Dvarim haktanim, that's the words of Yisrael. When Moshe enacts and listens to Yisrael, Vayishma Moshe, I love this, doesn't say Vayishma Moshe l'chaisnei. He listened to his father-in-law. It doesn't say that. He listened l'kail chaisnei, to the voice of his father-in-law. What's that word, to the voice? It's a weird way of talking. If somebody listens to somebody else, if Aviel gives advice to Avi, say, Avi, listen to Aviel. He listened to Aviel's voice. What does that mean? Vayishma Moshe l'kail chaisnei. Moshe listened to the voice of his father-in-law. You ever wondered in davening we say Shema Koleinu, hear our voices. Say, hear what I said to you, Hashem. We say Shema Koleinu, Chus V'Rachim Aleinu, in prayers, Avi. Hear my voice. Tzion, what do you say, hear my voice, Yehuda? Shema Tfilaseinu, hear my prayers. Hear my Diburim. You ever wonder, Joey, Shema Koleinu, hear my voice? What, Tzion? Beautiful, Tzion. I once had a bacher, Tzion. The art of your own children is not to hear what they're saying. Hear their voice, not what they said. What we say is not what we mean often. I don't want Hashem to hear my words. I want him to hear my voice.
Like people say, like, "Hey, I'm fine," but really, you hear
this
or not.
Oh, we're getting
loved. Reb Schwab says. That Reb Schwab, a guy at the Chasna, told me this. Reb Schwab, Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua's Talmud hear Klal Yisrael after Kabbalah Satayra. They come down from Shemayim and they hear Klal Yisrael screaming by the eagle. And Yeshua says, "Kol Muhammad and Eichishav." I hear a voice of like there's some big fight going on. And Moshe gives Musar to Yeshua. The Yerushalmi says. Moshe says to Yeshua, "Misha asid tavsrara b'Yisrael is enoy mavchin ben koy l'kol." You can't tell the difference in different voices. He yells at Yeshua. Reb Schwab explains. A yid at the Chasna last night told me this. Reb Schwab. And Reb Schwab says that the Klal Yisrael ain't—they're not arguing and fighting. They're not being rebellious. They're in pain. Kol anayis anaychi shemeh. They're just in pain. You hear they're screaming, he's so against, he's just in pain. He's just shouting in pain. Don't hear a kid curses, a kid yells at you, oh, he's in pain, he's hurting. Hear what he's really saying. Years ago, we had a guy in yeshiva who wanted to go to Texas. He had wealthy relatives in Texas, and he wanted to go to Texas, to his wealthy relatives. And his father said no, and he was livid at his father, livid. Now the father said, "I never saw such an entitled kid in my life. He's so entitlement." His father said, "No, it cost a lot of money to go on vacation to Texas." And he went, "What's his entitlement? It's an entitled youngster." And I have this weird thing that I think people mean something. That I believe in people. And the kid's angry. Something real is there. And it bothered me he was angry. He's angry at his father. And I ultimately asked the kid, and together we both try to figure, "What's wrong with you? You're mad at your daddy?" He said, "No, what? Like, what, you have a right, like, for a trip? Like, what's wrong with you? What are you getting? You have no right. What's this entitlement? Craziness." It turned out after we figured it out, he wasn't upset. His father said, "No, what right does he have?" His father said to him in middle of his man, father said a mittens man, and he felt his father was clueless with who he was. He brought out my struggles, what I'm working on. He wasn't upset about the no to Texas. He was upset that his father has zero idea of who he is. Zero. His struggles, his worries, is so distant from the story within. The lack of any sense of, you don't know me, you're clueless, just from the words, admittance, man. It brought up, you're just so far from who I am, what I'm, I don't know what Zman is, I don't care about this, there's no connection to anything I'm working on. That's what he was angry at. So the father was, oh, my entitlement. The father was listening to his words, not his voice. Shema Koleinu, we say to Hashem, I beg you, Hashem, hear my koil. Hear my voice means like Mamash Tzion was saying, not the words I'm saying, but what I mean. We it's hard to put things into words. And our words, we try our best, but we want somebody to hear our koil. Our koil is the voice, what we're getting at, what we're trying to say, what we really mean to say. Our words are but a representation of something deep inside. This guy in his words of being all angry was like livid at his father for not sending him to Texas. I promise he wasn't upset. The father had to go to Kashua. You're such an entitled person. Now there are kids, this guy was not an entitled, there are such a thing, a person has an entitlement, is a Meshuggah. Okay, this kid wasn't a Meshuggah. He wouldn't have Meshuggah. He wasn't like him. And it turned out in a very deep way. He was very mad that his father has no clue who he is. That's what he was living at. That's the coil of the Dvarim. What he said was, I don't know, he's saying all different things. One day your kids are going to be upset at you, and your job is to hear their voice, to figure out. Now, don't make it, it's normal. And by the way, don't panic, be secure. And it's not making cream puffs. Kids could be upset about things. You figure out whether they'll say this and say that. Hear their voice. Shema Koleinu. It's the koil. So here the pasuk says, Moshe listened to the koil of his chayson. So it doesn't say he listened to his father-in-law. He listened to the voice of his father-in-law. Means that he didn't do exactly as his father-in-law said. But the intention, what his father-in-law was getting at, he did. So what did he change? He clearly did not listen to him. Otherwise it wouldn't say, L'kol chayisnei, to the voice. It's a weird way of talking. He listened to his father-in-law. He listened to the voice of his father-in-law. It's a weird thing to say. What it's saying is he didn't follow exactly the plan of his father-in-law. That's why it doesn't say listen to his father-in-law, because he didn't. He listened to the voice, his intention, the koil's intention. I heard this pshat from my Rebbe, not here. My Rebbe was talking at a different place in the Torah where it says to hear the koil of the Dvar Hashem. And my Rebbe taught me that the koil of Hashem always means not the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. Somebody could keep the law exact. I'm just keeping Shulchan Aruch and have no shaychus to the koil of Dvar Hashem. To what Hashem is saying, what Hashem means, the koil of the Hashem. So that's the koil of our Hashem. And Moshe listens l'koil chaisnei, to the voice of his father-in-law, not to his father-in-law. He didn't do exactly like his father-in-law said, but he listened to the voice, to what he was getting at. So what did he change, Avi? So perhaps, it's interesting, the next words, it says, he listened l'koil chaisnei, v'yas kol asher amar, and he did everything he said. It's interesting, like almost contradiction. He listened to the koil and did whatever he said. It's a little bit of a contradiction. If he did whatever he said, so he listened to him. So I assume he did whatever he said. I'm bothered by this because it says Vayas Kol Asher Amar, and he did everything he said. So then he listened to his father-in-law, not the koil of his father-in-law. But I assume he did everything he said in the big picture that he said Kol Asher Amar. I'm bothered by that, but I'm. Maybe even leave that as a kasha. It says he listened to Kol Chaisnei, which is saying that he didn't do exact. Then it says Vayas Kol Asher Amar, but I'm claiming the Kol Asher Amar means in the context of what he, of the big picture of what he wanted. But listen, what so Moshe Rabbeinu appoints, like Yisrael wanted, Anshe Chayil, and he puts people of strength, people of capacity, and he put them in positions. He empowered them. Vayite noisam rashim alam, and he empowered them. I like that it says he placed them. There's something to empowering people. He made them rashim alam. He made them as heads of the nation, Sari Allah from Sarmer, Sari Chemish from Sarais. So now there were more people to speak to. But listen what it says he did. Now I like that when it says Kol Asher Amar, it's interesting. It says, and this is really my answer to that stira. He listens L'Koil Chaisnai, and he did Kol Asher Amar. That's not, then you don't say listen L'Koil. It doesn't say the specifics. It says he made Rashim Alam. So that's Kol Asher Amar in that way that he appointed people. That was exact. But then when it says what they did, there's a difference. Vishaftu Esa'am B'chol Eis, and they judged Klai, so they were available. So there were more people empowered, more people made available, a healthier system. Then the Pasuk says, listen to this. What was Yisra'i's charge? The Davar HaGadol goes to Moshe, and the Davar HaKatan goes to the others. What did they do, Avila? He said, Davar HaKashe goes to Moshe, but call a Davar HaKatan Yishuftu him. Yisra'i said, Gadol goes to Moshe, Katan goes to the other Rabbanim. And when Moshe does it, what goes to Moshe? Not Gadol, but Kashe. Kasha and Katan as opposed to Gadol and Katan. What would you say the difference? Hashem is very exact in his words. Hashem is very exact in his words. What? But Yisra'i said Gadol and Moshe does Kasha. Yisra'i says Davra Gadol goes to Moshe, Davra Katan goes to the other Rabbanim. And when Moshe enacts it, it says Kasha goes to Moshe and Katan to others.
What does Kasha mean?
Hard. What apparently sounds like is in Yisra'i's plans, Gadol and Katan could mean the $1 billion cases, the big shilas that have massive ramifications. That goes to Moshe. A smaller shiloh, listen, you know, two people have shilohs. A guy comes to yeshiva, he wants to know, Rebbe, what bracha do I make on gum? So ask a lower bezdin. Don't take up Moshe's time. A guy wants to know, where should I learn for the year? Okay, so then you go to Moshe Rabbeinu. That needs Moshe. You ask him, what bracha bubble gum? Go to somebody else. That's what Yisra'i had the plan. The big stuff and the small stuff. Big ramifications. Davra Gadol to Moshe, and Davra Katan has got the bigger ramifications, small. And Moshe doesn't do big stuff, and so it's hard and easy. If it's a complicated shayla about a shahakol, it should go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because complicated. It's not so pasha. Small ramifications. It's not so pasha. It goes to Moshe. And it says katan by both, but one katan is as opposed to gadol, and one katan is opposed to kasha. As opposed to kasha, katan means easy. Kasha and katan means hard or easy. Katan, it means small in context of not kasha, it's katan. Now, I don't know why it said katan. It should have had a different word. I don't have an answer to that. But I assume when you say kasha and katan, you mean a very hard child goes to Moshe. And an easier one, it's not about... Now, Donnie, I want to tell you what context. I want to tell you a story. I went to Davin by the Rebbe's Kever a couple of weeks ago. And me, I was with Johnny. We went to Davin. Moyo, you were with us? We went to Davin. And a guy came into the Beis HaKvaris. While we were davening there, a guy came in. The Rebbe, Moyo was there. Johnny was there, Avi was there, and a fellow came in. We don't know the fellow. I don't know what his story is, who he is. I don't know anything about him. But while we were praying, a guy came in. You remember what the guy said? He said his name. He said, everybody. He just like made an announcement to a few people praying there. Avi was there. We were praying at the kever. And a guy announces that he said, I don't know Hebrew. He said, guys, people are praying there. It's 1:30 in the morning. One, he says, I don't know Hebrew. Could I ask? My name is so and so. Could you say a prayer for me? Everything's hashgacha. To happen at a Rebbe's kever. That's why I have a Rebbe because of that. That's why I'm into Rebbe's. What did the world of Chassidus teach us? Pnimius. And that was like, that's the story of Chassidus. What did everybody in that room know? Now, I don't know who the guy is. I don't know what his deal is. I don't know if he was fully normal. I don't know anything about him. But what does everybody know in that room? That he should pray for all of us. We all knew that. The guy said, I don't know. The world of Chassidus, what every Chassidic story is that a whole shul full of Yidden davening, and one guy doesn't know how to daven. He's holding Tillum upside down. He's just screaming. Ah! Just doing what he can. Ah, Hashem. And always the Chassidic story, there are many stories of the Bardetsch, with tons of stories. This is Chassidic allure is full of this. Then the whole shul, the prayer that broke the Gzeir was the guy. Didn't the stories of people, of the lady who just, I promise I was davening in LA and there was a boy there who had Down syndrome who was praying the whole Siddur. He was davening, he was on Shabbos, he was on, he was in front of me, he was on the Yom Kippur davening. I was just mesmerized by his prayer. He was reading through the Siddur, he doesn't know, I don't know, should somebody teach him what to say? He was Down syndrome, he was a beautiful, he was davening Yom Kippur. I promise he was davening Yom Kippur. Other points I saw him davening, other things, his prayer, it was like Pashut, he had the biggest prayer in the room. Like Dvarim Pshutim, he was talking to God. Now I'm not making, it's dangerous, Ki Yadua, there's Halacha, what happened, but I'm talking about what Chassidus taught, the world of Pnimius. Tefillah is Avayda Shebelev, and inside, he doesn't know what to say. Chassidus taught that we all have a beautiful minion, and a guy comes in late, and he prays to Hashem. Some young guy comes in, he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem. Don't underrate that. Not just don't underrate, that might have been the biggest prayer. They saved us all. Avayda Shebelev, the sincere person, the Umka Delev, doesn't know all the trappings. He's not as sophisticated as the rest of us. And he davens, Milibay Tagad, and he calls out. That's like full of these stories. We're sitting at the Rebbe's Kevin. Hashem gifted us, Pasha. And a guy came in, I don't know who he is. I never met him before. I haven't met him since. And he just said, guys, I don't know, anybody there is Chassidish. I promise, Johnny, we all just, the obvious thing was, is you're the guy we're thinking about. The Yid who just says, and it was beautiful, it was touching, said, Yid, and talk to Hashem for me. And all of us, of course, should have asked him, could you pray for, and we didn't. We should have said, I hope he prayed for all of us. Trust me, his maybe Johnny later asked him. I didn't ask Johnny. You know, ask him, could you please pray for us? You know, your prayer, I don't know what language you know. I don't know if you know who you are and if you're even fully sane, but just pray. What the Rebbe taught and what Chassidus gave over so much is the world within, the pnimius, the connection, the lave, the throughout, Rahmana Libabai. And I want to say that Moshe Rabbeinu, in a world of service of Hashem, we don't have the big and the small like somebody who's not inside would have. The big and the small is the big ramifications. This person is a big person, like there's certain, like a certain, it would almost be a class of people. Picture who Shilas would get to Moshe Rabbeinu in a world from without. In a world from within, somebody had a bubblegum Shilas would go right to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's interesting. It's kasha if it's something difficult. Now, difficult could mean a difficult shayla. I think difficult just meant also the level of sincerity, the level of a davar akasha, something that a guy. There's a rav in Westchester who taught in a school of kids who aren't yet religious, Yiddish and Hashamas. And a kid called up his rebbe and he said, Rebbe, I asked the gadol adar shayla. What happened? He saw a group of yeshiva guys surrounding Rav Shlomo Zalman, and they were fighting and learning with the Gadol Hador, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And he said his Talmud felt so jealous. He said it looked so geschmack. He said, I had nothing to speak to the Sadik. Rav Shlomo Zalman shone like the sun, and they're all talking to the Sadik, and he just wanted a shaykhus to the Sadik. He said, Rebbe, I was thinking what to do. He said, I was chewing Wrigley's bubble gum. He said, I spit it in my hand. He said, I asked the guys, could I speak to the rabbi for a minute? He said, they were in the middle of arguing. He said, okay. He said, I showed him the ribble. It was chewed bubble gum in his hand. And I said, Rabbi, is Wrigley's bubble gum kosher? And he told his rebbe, I spoke to the Gadol Hador. That's a davar kasha for sure. I promise those shaylos went to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's kasha. the need, the oimek of the need, the importance. It's nothing to do with gadol and katan. Like to the outsider, davar gadol is the big stuff, the very like big shilas, important, and you know a lot of money, very like prestige. And davar katan, the small. That's not the world within. The world within, you could have a dollar shayla of kasha. Now, certainly kasha means a hard shayla. And the point of kasha and katan is if something was kasha, it was nagea $1. It was a shvera shayla. And kasha, to me, would be bechlau if something had massive importance that it goes to Moshe. That kid's bubblegum shayla only could go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because there's a guy who wanted to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu and just needed to speak to Moshe. Needed for his emunah. That's nichlal and kasha. It has nothing to do with what the... That's he listened to Kyle Chaisna. He got what his father-in-law was saying. He didn't listen to what he said. He listened to Kyle Chaisna. He got the idea what there needs to be. And he made higher and lower courts. Kol Asher Amar in the higher and lower, in informing other people to be miyayetz, he did Kol Asher Amar. But in terms of who asked and what was asked, that was Kyle. That's what I'm sparring. That's what I'm splitting up. In terms of what he enacted, and that's the next psukim of what he did, and that's he did Kol Asher Amar in Vayivchar Moshe Anshei Chayil and made them Sari Alav, Sari Meir, Sari Chamish, Sari, that's Kol Asher Amar. In Kol Chaisna is what happened, Vishaftu, that what happened was different, the Davar HaKasha, that we don't have his system. What needed to get to Moshe, Shvera Shailas, that were of massive importance, could be Negeya Dollar, because we're not a people, the small things matter, sincerity matters, that's how we live, sincere matters. To us, that guy's prayer was huge. The guy who said, guys, I don't know how to read any of this. So, you know, maybe you throw up a prayer. You're the guy. Talk. You're the guy. You who don't know how to read. We all have learned from this man that we're praying b'zchusai to God. We all learned from him about your prayers. He was the champion who championed you. To the guy who comes in, you're the guy he was waiting. You're at the kever and we're at the kever. You're the guy who he taught to the world how precious you are and how precious your prayer. The guy says to us, I don't know how to. It's like a treat. Like we had that chassid came in. I don't know who he was, what he was. We were running out. Mustafa Johnny drank a coffee with him. I don't know. Did you speak to him afterwards? Who knows? Elio, Anavi, I don't know. I don't know. You know, it was too perfect. To go to the cabin and that, him showed up. Like, it was too perfect. Yeah, him showed up. But the world of Chassidus taught us that. So I wanted to share this in the parasha, the Davar HaKasha and Katan, not Gadol and Katan. And I think in our own Avodas Hashem, really valuing the Iker of Avodas Hashem, Kemet, Kemat, you know, you have had a davening, you barely davening, you come to the yayin, you have, like, you don't even know what you said, if you said that, you said. The ikar of Avodas Hashem is to value the yayin when you wake up there. And if you wake up at 46 and you noticed an aleinu, that's like, that is Avodas Hashem right there. This where you are, what you're doing, this beautiful shackle to make it, that to us, that's a davar agadol, we don't have this sense of the big stuff and small stuff. We don't live like that. We really don't live like that. I'm saying things to my Rebbe. My Rebbe needs refuah shleim, Rebbe Yechiel Yitzchak ben Leah. Davin, you don't say titles. Yechiel Yitzchak ben Leah. And my Rebbe once wrote an article about Rav Aaron Cutler to a paper that's now defunct. It doesn't exist. It was a Jewish Observer. And in this article, he wrote a story about Rav Aaron Cutler with cookies on a plane. And somebody wrote my Rebbe a hate letter. Like, don't tell me about Rav Aaron with cookies. He's a gadol. Don't make him. Like, don't tell me a story about cookies. And they wrote my Rebbe an anonymous letter. Like full of a lot of like hatred, full of anger, like a very nasty letter. And my Rebbe read it to me. He read me this letter. He read me and my friends this letter. And he told us that big people are big because they value cookies. Because a small thing matters. That is the big person, that the small things matter. We don't have a world of that's too small. We don't live like that. That guy's prayer, and the world of Hasidus is not different than it was a bunch of tzaddikim who came to teach this. The value of sincere. And by the way, it's not making shittas of not, no, we should not daven and have the prayer of the sincere person. The Torah teaches us in Vayikra, it says people are coming to bring karbanas. If you're at Beis Hashem, the Beis Hamikdash we rebuilt, and Bekarav, and we're at the Beis Hamikdash, and people have karbanas. People are going to have gorgeous stuff. They're going to have fancy, beautiful karbanas. And then one guy has flour. Flour is the poor man's carbon. It's like embarrassing. He puts it in his pocket. Everybody has like a schmack animal, the rich guys. He has a little, I don't know, sometimes you're standing sukkahs and people have expensive esrogim. You don't have the hot shot esrog, the best esrog in the whole place. You're like, you cover it, you're a little embarrassed. Like you hide your esrog. It was a nice esrog. You thought it was nice, but other people outspent you, outgot you, have something shtadier. This guy's online in the Beis Hamikdash, and he has a flower carbon. And God says about that guy, it says about a carbon mincha, it says nefesh ki sakriv, a soul. And says chazal kilu hikriv nafshay. The carbon I like most is that carbon of the ani. It's not making a shita against bringing poor carbon, against bringing rich carbonus, I promise. Bring the hak, it's the pasuk rips somebody who brings junk to Hashem. The pasuk says, if you bring your junk, is Hashem going to be happy? Hevel taught us to bring your best stuff. Don't bring junk to Hashem. It's not making a shita against not knowing how to read. Shucks, I know how to read. I can't be that guy at the Rebbe's Kevers. I don't know how to read. No, I promise I could be that guy. You can know how to read and be that guy by just being sincere, by not being arrogant. By being a guy who's just sincere. By the way, you could be that guy by in your prayer showing up. And whenever you space in, is you're up to Isa Shalom and you put in a terrible Shemad Esrei and you have the guy to daven Isa Shalom beautifully. You have the geshmak to daven Isa Shalom. I told the Chevra and Elul about this friend of mine growing up. He was in my dira. And we would come back 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and he would daven with his tefillin and he would dance by davening. I was so mad at him. And I told myself then that I was mad at him that he's pretending to be happy. He's really depressed. Like, I hate the fake, he's such a faker. Today he's my hero, this guy. I love this guy. He's my favorite person. And I want to say that the reason I hated him because he was such an azus, he's a chutzpenyak. I woke up early to daven in the mirror because I wanted to look good, impress people. Because I wanted to get in the dorm of the mirror. I learned the tough first seder, and I'm like down and struggling and not happy. And he has the chutzpah. He woke up at 3 o'clock, and he's like davening so happy, a chutzpah yak. I was so mad. What right does he have to be happy? Today he's my hero. He woke up 3 o'clock, davening beautifully. He's praying to God. It's the best thing in the world. He should be a Baal Gaiva. He should know that God loves him and wants his prayer. And he woke, now he's here. He's here right now and davening beautifully. That's what he should. He's right. He is spot on. He's my hero. He's the most beautiful guy. Now I just want to be him. I want to have the azus. It says, Iknes of the Mashiach, there's going to be chutzpah yaski. There's going to be a proliferation of chutzpah. This is the exact chutzpah. It's the chutzpah of you put on your tefillin and daven beautifully, even if you woke up late. It's a beautiful chutzpah. You know the chutzpah is? And you know why it's Mashiach time? People are going to sense God wants them. They're not going to have this sense, I'm out, I'm bad, I'm too late. They're not going to buy this stuff. God wants me. And right now, this is where I'm at, and they're going to talk to Hashem with the Simcha Rabbah. With the sense, who does he think he is? He thinks God likes him. You woke up late, for heaven's sakes. You haven't woke up on time in months. The chutzpah to that, chutzpah, yak. God is so mad, the chutzpah. I love it. He's so spot. There was an emes that I was insecure with. That my promoting, so Kalish, you're promoting, waking up, then I want to go to the yeshiva's minyan with what he comes with. It's not promoting. When it says about the ani that Hashem wants it, the ani doesn't have the external things. So maybe it's easier for him, so it's harder for the Ashir. The Ani doesn't have that everybody's impressed with his carbon. He doesn't have people, pshh, nobody's pshhing, he has flour in his freaking pocket. He's coming, he's nothing. And he comes with sincerity, Hashem, I have a gift to you, this is what I bought you. So the rich guy can come with that sincerity too. We're not promoting bringing an Ani. I promise the rich guy should bring his fancy carbon, but show up like the Ani with sincerity, with authenticity, with focused on that which is precious. That guy came, I didn't feel like shucks that I know Hebrew. I just felt also be sincere. It just made me see a sincere prayer. The goal wasn't to teach people not to know Hebrew. A guy came to yeshiva a couple of days ago. I didn't even get to tell Johnny. And a guy came recently. He said to me, I've been in public school. Is there anybody else here who went to public school? I was so moved. I said, we're all from public school. He was saying like he's the outsider. I said, it's a whole yeshiva. I'm also from public school. He came like, am I the outsider? Am I like, I'm not as stark as this, as that? Do I have a right here? Can I dive in too? Kid said to me, came here. I said, the whole freaking place, we're all public school kids. We're not more shtadi. We belong. We're chassidim. You're here. Welcome. Please, let's open up a chumash and learn together. We're all you. And you're us. We're all people. We're all people trying, figuring out. We're all you and you're us. You know, he came here like, it was the same. It reminded me exactly that guy who walked into the Rebbe's thing. That's what it means, chassidus, the world that values the yid and values the relationship to Hashem and talks about Hashem wants us and is interested in us. He asked me literally with complete sincerity, I come from public, like, is anybody else here? Could I find somebody? I said, the whole yeshiva, we're all you. I pray, we're all you. We're all you. What school I went to here, that. We're Yidden, we're fellow Yidden. We had our Sinai before our Sinai. Avraham Avinu, our father, like you. Our father's a ger, just like you. We're all going to say that, Pesach. Yeah, there's struggles, there's difficulty. We all have Taivas. All the things you have, we have. You're us, we're you. Welcome home. Welcome home. That guy came into the kever. He's like, I don't know how to pray here. You're by the kever of a person who taught us that you're a yid and we're a yidden and just talk to God. He was by the kever who taught that too. That's why we're asking Hashem, we're davening to Hashem b'schusa, because he taught the world. That's what Hasidus taught, the world within, the soul who talks to Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he enacts Yisrael's plan, of course, that they're all different people to speak to. But what goes to Moshe has nothing to do with the big and small of a secular mindset. What goes to Moshe is davar akasha. It's a shvera shayla, could be a negeya, a dollar. It's not, by us, in our world, it's negeya, one that we don't call that. It's not about big, you know, how glamorous. And maybe Yisrael meant this. He probably did mean it. Deep, Yisrael means this too. But this is l'koil chayis. Moshe understands it. He doesn't call it gadol and katan. It's not the gadol of the world. If it's a dollar and a shver, if it's kasha because the guy just needs to speak to Reb Shlomo Zalman, the guy had a bubblegum shayla, got right into Reb Shlomo Zalman, trust me. Got right to Reb Moshe Rabbeinu. Please. It's the kasha shver. A lot rides on this. This person needs to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. They need to just interact. That's kasha. Got right to Moshe Rabbeinu. Davra katan, somebody else.
That's the gadol, right?
Yes, zicher. That's kasha. Kasha here in this sense meant a difficult shayla. Moshe was needed. So kasha is he's needed. It has nothing to do with big and small. It's not how much money the guy had, how the relevance of year. It's not about them. My Rebbe described, he said, I wrote a story about Rav Aaron for cookies. I don't want to tell you about, and he had crazy stories. But what made Rav Aaron a godly said is the important detail, little thing was a big story. It mattered. There was a shleimus. There was a sincerity. What made him a gadol was the fact that he brought the minchas ani in his big stuff. There was a sincerity, the value of this thing in front, of this detail, of this thing in front. This is something that all of us need to be machshiv and value in our own selves, in our own stories, in our own avoda. The small zach. We get very busy. The Eitz Sahara, the Iker, task. It says where we should be, what we should be up to, what we should have done and could have done. When we're up to Aleinu and we butchered the whole davening, the story of the great person, is he says a beautiful Aleinu. Aleinu shabech l'adayin ha'kol. Lassis kedulah liyotzeh reish le'sonik yoyretz. He says by Aleinu, and he mamish messed up till then and skipped and doesn't even know what he said at that point, but he says a beautiful Aleinu. That's Hashem. That's the Yid, the precious Yid who values where he is, where he's at, what he's at. Tzion, what were you saying?
Why did Abraham
get ridiculed for doing just that? The whole salt thing. Just trying to talk to his scholar. Trying to make conversation with Yitzchak. Excellent. Excellent. I like the question. Excellent. Excellent. We have to study it and learn well. It might not be things. That might have been a beautiful thing. Yeah, we could talk about it. I have like an approach there, but I agree with you. The talking to Yitzchak and relating is excellent. We'll talk. He wanted to know that that Esav like is punished. He would ask from Mishaelis to Yitzchak. Avinu said he just wanted a Shaychus to his Tata. So what's he punished? He just wanted a Shaychus to the Tata. Good see him. I like the question. We have to study there and don't buy in and really learn. So what did he do wrong? What was Esav? What's the sugya of
Esav? Did he really want to change the story? Was he asking just to try to trick
him? Okay, good. That's what we have to have. Good.
We're getting along this, you guys.
Excellent. He's right. They're right. That this is the discussion. So we have to learn that sugya. You're right, Yehuda. Yehuda said if he wanted a shaychus, that would be the best. If he spit out his bubble gum, that tzidkus comes from that. Isn't that cool that a guy spit out bubble gum? He asked him, he spoke to him, Shlomo Zayin. He wanted to speak to a gadol. He spit out the bubble gum. He said, is Wrigley's kosher? Are you allowed to eat Wrigley's? While he's chewed up bubble gum, are you allowed to eat Wrigley's? He asked the gadol Adari. He spoke to him, Shlomo. He wanted to speak. He wanted to hear a psak from the gadol.
What did he say? What did the gadol say?
I don't know, actually. Rabbi Bienenfeld told me this, my son. Evesi's friend. He's a rub in Westchester. Yeah, I know. There's so much Parshas Yisrael. Wow. Shabbos. Saras HaDibris. What do Kalish, are you crazy? He has Shabbos in the Parsha and Saras HaDibris. And you spoke about... Shabbos. Yeah, we're gonna...